Luke chapter 12 and verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two Assyria, and one of them is not forgotten before God? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are better than many sparrows. This time of the year, it's good to take account of God's creation. Plants are bursting forth, and the wonder of God's creation comes to life. You plant seeds, and up comes the bright produce. The perfection of God's creation. Study a flower and see the greatness of what God has created. If only persons would turn to consider for a moment the God who created things. That's a consideration for each one of us. But more than that, consideration that God has for you as an individual. You might say it's an unusual scripture to read in the gospel. But I thought it was good to take account of. Ye are better than many sparrows. God takes account of the smallest thing, the smallest part of his creation. He's interested in it. He was in the days of Noah. He provided, after Noah had built an ark for period of 120 years, we understand. God came in judgment on this world. But he preserved for himself everything of the living creation. No, he didn't have to go and find all the animals to go in the ark, you know. They all came to Noah. God organized it, speaking reverently. Wonderful thing, how God takes account of what's needed. But bring it down to the present day. When the Lord Jesus was speaking this, these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He's the one who is the subject of the glad tidings. And he speaks here of the creation of God. Are not five sparrows sold for two Assyria? And note tells us, if you read it in Matthew, that it's not quite sure what that figure is. It's very small, very intent in, so small that you could hardly count it. And yet, one of them is not forgotten before God. And you're not forgotten before God either. And that's really where the gospel comes in. Because God has taken account of your situation. You, as a man or a woman or child, God has taken account of where you are and your need. And he's provided the most wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang, didn't we? How wondrous the Savior is, God's blessed Son. And he is a wonderful Savior. He's an all the way home Savior. He's one that can meet your current need as a sinner before a holy and righteous God, because he's been to Calvary's cross and taken upon himself the judgment of God in relation to sin, and therefore he can forgive your sins. Being said, and very rightly too, I believe, that sin is judged, that sins are forgiven. How wonderful. We know a God who can forgive sins because of the work of Jesus at Calvary's cross. He went there, friend, for you. Went there for me? Yes, I can say that simply. He went there for me. And I trust you know that he went there for you. He went there out of consideration for you. You say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. How would he know about me? Wonderful. He lay it down as a man. He died at Calvary's cross as a man. But he was always God. He knew about you. And he made a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, so that you, my friend, could have the wonderful knowledge of the forgiveness of your sins, have peace with God. How wonderful is God's creation? He said, we take account of it. He's spoken about the flowers and things like that. The animal creation, all under God's hand. There is a day coming when the lion and the lamb will lay down together. They can't today. The lion will eat the lamb. But the day is coming when it's going to be restored. Things are going to be restored to what God had in mind. The reason why they can't at the moment is because sin came into the world. And that's really the reason behind it. Sin upset the, I say carefully, upset the arrangements that God had made. And yet, God had got a provision in Jesus to meet that need. Your need, my need, met at the cross of Christ. What a Saviour. He went that way, friend, for you. I keep saying that. The gospel is very personal. It comes right down to you where you are, that you might have peace with God and an assurance that not only your sins have been washed away in his precious blood, because that blood was shed at Calvary. John tells us about it in his gospel quite clearly. Soldier pierced his side, and out came blood and water. John records it particularly, speaks of it in his epistle. It had a great effect upon John, and it's that precious blood which makes my peace with God. If you go back in time to some 1400 years before the Lord Jesus was here, you'll find reference to the need of blood. When the Israelites came out of Egypt that night after the lamb had been sacrificed, the blood was put on the doorpost and on the lintel. And it was a sign. A sign that the destroying angel would not enter that house and destroy the firstborn of the house, because the blood was there. It's a type. Speaks to us beautifully of the blood of Christ, sufficient to meet the need of every one. None is left out. The invitation of the gospel is to whosoever will, to every one. Spoken of in Scripture, it's towards all, yes. It's upon all who believe. You have a responsibility to believe, my friend. Gospel is preached with the obedience of faith. It's not just a question of thinking about it. You have to do more than that. You have to accept it. Accept it for yourself. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Take account of the fact that he went there for you. And that if there was only you involved, and then you involved, Jesus would have gone there for you. Make it that personal. That you might have an appreciation of the depths to which he went. Some of us are reading this afternoon about his words. He was sorrowful even unto death. The enormity of what it meant to my Saviour when he suffered for sin, but took upon himself what was due to me and due to you too, all sinners. Scripture makes it quite clear. Not a word that possibly everybody likes. The scripture makes it quite clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how wonderful that Jesus has provided the answer to that in his death. Not only has he been into death, shed his precious blood, but he was buried within a grave. Exactly going to go into that, other than that, Steve said, that order of man had to go out of God's sight forever. But the wonderful thing is that he was raised the third day. It's on that basis that you and I have the assurance that those sins have been washed away entirely. Romans tells us that he was raised for our justification. That you can be justified before God. Not justified in anything you've done yourself, and everybody tries to do that. How many times have you tried? You know, there was that woman in the Gospels. She'd had a flux of blood for 12 years. She was in a miserable state. She tried everything, every physician that she could try, and it only got worse. And that's how you can be. Try all sorts of things. But she came to the Saviour. And that's really what you have to do tonight, my friend, is come to Jesus. The invitation's there. He's willing to receive all who would come to him. There's no doubt about that. How free is the pardon his blood has procured. How blessed is the welcome his name has ensured. Yes, welcome you tonight. Wonderful Saviour takes account of everything. So that the scripture says, as we read, ye are better many sparrows. Yes, insignificant. I mean, actually, we very rarely ever see a sparrow these days. We see dunnocks and other birds, but sparrows seem to be in short supply. Obviously, there was something that was well known in that day. But ye are better than many sparrows. I think that's a lovely expression, you know. That the God who created you, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and who upholds all things by his power, it's a wonderful consideration that he's got you in mind for blessing. The world around us, you only have to look a little way and find there's nothing there to bring about satisfaction or assurance. But I can point you to one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only died, raised again, but he's gone back to heaven, living, ever living to intercede. How wonderful is the Saviour. We don't preach a dead Saviour, we preach a living Saviour. One who's been into death and lives again and will live forever. He's ever alive there, friend, on your behalf. Not only have your sins been forgiven, but as our hymn spoke of it, the Spirit has been given to help and preserve you in your walk here, in your life here, in the time which remains until the Lord Jesus comes again. And he is coming again. We spoke of it this afternoon. He doesn't delay his promise as some delay, but his long-suffering towards all, not willing that any should perish. You think of that. there's any time, we're waiting for the Saviour. He's waiting for you, my friend, maybe. Waiting for you tonight to put your faith and trust in Him. One who's died, risen again. I commend Him to you, my friend. My thoughts are only very short tonight, but I commend the Saviour to you. He's done everything in absolute perfection, to the full satisfaction of a holy and righteous God who takes consideration for you. And He wants you to come to know Him as your Saviour, personal, individual, that you might have Him as your Saviour, not only for tonight, but for its time and for eternity. You're better than many sparrows. I leave that thought with you. In His name's sake.
Amen. Amen.